From the Shepherd House International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Connors Asabre, anointed by God, will inspire you with rare and down-to-earth but provoking teachings from the Word of God, to love the Lord deeply and to devote yourself to His work. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now, here is Bishop Collins.
Father, tonight, thank you for your awesome presence. May everyone within the four corners of this property be captivated by your power and your presence. May lives be touched tonight. May lives be affected tonight. May the angels of God begin even from now. Begin to move. Begin to touch. Begin to soften hearts. Begin to transform. Convict, oh God, us. Convict us of our sins. And release us just as you set captivity captive. Release the souls of men tonight into the kingdom of your marvelous glory. I thank you for transformation tonight. I thank you for miracles tonight. Jesus, walk among us. Jesus, let us see you tonight. Jesus, manifest yourself. Thank you for the souls, the lives that have changed tonight. All to your glory. In Jesus' mighty name, and somebody said, hallelujah. Give Jesus a big hand clap. And you may please be seated. Welcome to our second night, last night of our salvation rally. You are specially welcome. Special welcome to the honorable. Honorable Nelson, International Relations Management, BSc. Wonderful. Leviticus chapter 17. We want to read from verse 1. You're welcome. If somebody invited you, I tell you, you are not wasting your time here tonight. If somebody compelled you to come here, I'm saying to you, you did not come here by accident. If somebody forced you or pressured you to come, he actually delivered you from what is happening behind you in your house and in your area. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons and unto all the children of Israel, and say unto them, this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, saying, what man soever there be of the house of Israel that killeth an ox or lamb or goat in the camp, or that killeth it out of the camp and bringeth it not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation to offer an offering unto the Lord before the tabernacle of the Lord, blood shall be imputed unto that man. He hath shed blood, and that man shall be cut off from among his people, to the end that the children of Israel may bring their sacrifices, which they offer in the open field, even that they may bring them unto the Lord. So when you are making sacrifices somewhere, you have things, you are enjoying it somewhere, God says, you must bring it. Don't do it in your house. Bring it to the church. You get it? He said, to the end, verse 5, to the end, the children of Israel may bring their sacrifices, which they offer in the open field, even that they may bring them unto the Lord. Many people waste money out there. I said, many people waste money out there. Many people waste their time out there. Many people waste their lives out there. But God is saying that whatever you sacrifice outside, he's commanding that you bring it inside, into the house of God, to the tabernacle of the congregation, unto the priest, and offer them for peace offerings unto the Lord. And the priest shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar of the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and burn the fat for a sweet savor unto the Lord. And they shall no more offer their sacrifices unto devils. They shall no more make their sacrifices unto devil. So when the thing is done outside the church, it's for the devil. I tell you, all the time you spend out there, it is for the devil. All the energy you spend out there, it's for the devil. Yeah. It's not for God. You ask yourself, when you wake up in the morning, you go, you spend 8 hours out there, you don't come to church. Who are you spending the 8 hours for? It is all to the devil. The deception is that you think that you are doing something for yourself. But if it's not for God, it's for the devil. There's nobody in between. There's no God, devil, and you. You don't even come. You are not in that class. It's God or the devil. It's black or white. You don't feature. So whatever we do out there, it is the Bible says we do it to the devils. Yeah. Where are we? After whom? Where is it? Verse what? Same seven. We are in seven. It's a good number. After whom they have gone a whoring. This shall be a statute forever unto them throughout their generation. So last night I was talking about how certain things must become culture, a culture. You see, as Guyanese and people who have believed in God, we must transition from where the Bible doesn't control our lives to where the Bible controls our lives. Because for many of us, even though we say we are Christians, the Bible is not alive in us. The things we do, we are not doing them because the Bible said. You check yourself. There are so many things we Christians and whoever you call yourself, we do on a daily basis that the Bible has not told you to do. It is what you know to do. It's what you knew, grew up doing. And it's what everybody is doing, what the society also likes. So God says that this is something that I want to be to become a statute forever until Jesus comes, dies, and goes to heaven. Well, why are you saying amen? Is that what he's saying? He's not, this shall be a statute forever unto them throughout their generations. So as long as the Israelites are alive, it must still be happening. You cannot, you see, it is just 10 a little bit. You cannot be doing things out there. You cannot be wasting your time. Many people have talents and gifts that they are using out there. Let me tell you, if you think that you are going to save some community, you are going to save some country, you are going to save some group of people, you are wasting your time. You have to think about your life and your salvation. And let God deal with the press and the rest of the people. It's not very easy to rise up and say you are a leader or you are ruling some people. If God has not lifted you up and placed you in a certain position, you are actually sacrificing your time and your energy for devils. What's the next verse? 8. And thou shalt say unto them, whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers which sojourn among you, that offereth a burnt offering or sacrifice. Anybody who is an Israelite, anybody who is a Christian, or anybody who has come to be among you and be part of you, who will offer a sacrifice or a burnt offering. He says, and bringeth it not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. It's like you cannot spend anything valuable, anything costly outside God. That's what he's saying. Even a stranger who has decided to come and live among us. He said it affects him also. He said, and he bringeth it not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation to offer it unto the Lord. Even that man shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among the people also. For the verse 11 says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. It is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. So last night I spoke about, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Tonight, eternal life through the blood of Jesus. Eternal life through the blood of Jesus. Let just pause for a few minutes tonight, ladies and gentlemen, and think about life. And think about life. Let's think about life for a few minutes. I'll be done after we finish thinking about life. Where are you going when you die? What happens to you? What happens to a human being when he dies? Is this the only life that exists? The young man read a scripture before I came. He said, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy." The second part is something you should take note of. He said, but I am, is that what he says? He said, "I am come that they might have life." What life? We are alive already. "I am come that they might have life," and said they might have it more abundantly. John chapter 1 and verse 5 says, "In him was life, and that life is a light." John 1 4. "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." So, as you and I are alive, there is another type of life. Now you even think about it in the natural sense. Do you think that today is Thursday night? Do you think this is all that is happening in the world? No. Just go a few minutes away. You see people doing something else. Go to the right. You see people doing something else. Cross the river and go to the other side. You see people at M&M Snacket. You see people at the Harbor Bridge Mall selling what? This candy. Cotton candy. One day I was crossing the bridge, so big people in my car, they say, "Would you buy cotton candy for us?" I said, "I don't have money for cotton candy." People, this is not everything that is happening in this world. There are people are doing other things. This cannot be the only thing that is happening in this world. It also does not mean that the life you have and the life I have is the only type and the kind of life that exists. There is something called life eternal. Now, eternal life, to explain it a little bit, Bible says God formed man out of the dust of the earth. He said, as you are there, If you were to just put your finger and just scratch it a little bit, you see some brown things. You'll be very surprised who you are. You are a complex composition of death. Praise you, saw it. Yeah. I thought you studied it at your BSc thing. You are just more of that together. That is why when you have life, you don't have life anymore, you go back. The Bible says that God formed man out of the dust of the earth, and he breathed into man, and man became a living soul. So, there are two components, if you like. Let's not even go into the three, but let's go into the two components. It means that God formed man out of the dust. That is one entity. Then he came and he put air, breath into the man. And the man now became something or somebody that lives. It means that when you die also, that which is inside of you that makes you walk around, that is also kind of separated from the flesh. So when you go to funerals, one victim, when you go to funerals, what happens is that you see the body line up. Pay attention. You see the body lying down. What you are actually seeing is that that which makes the person speak and move around like I'm doing, that is gone. Is that Jiggy? Hey, I salute you. That is gone. Where has it gone to? That which has left the body, there is no, it does not end. It does not travel in a vacuum. Many people think that when you die, indeed, there's life in you, and the life leaves your body and then continues to some places. Some people even believe in reincarnation. The Bible said that it is appointed unto man to die. After death, there is no excursion of your spirit. After death, your spirit doesn't pack its bags and go to Barbados and go for vacation. And then it goes to Trinidad for vacation. And it goes to Bahamas for vacation. No. There is no disorganization in the spirit realm. You see, God, the Bible says God is spirit. He is called in the Bible, the Bible calls God the Father of spirits. God is the one who gave us the spirit we have. So when you die and the spirit leaves your body, it is still under control. I'm showing you something tonight. When you die and your spirit leaves you, your spirit does not determine how it behaves. So your spirit cannot come back in America as a white woman. Or come back in Africa as a dog. This is not a James Bond movie, you know. You only live twice. You only live once. So there's a whole spiritual realm after we die that we don't see because we are flesh. And in that eternal realm or that spiritual world, it is eternal. What I mean by eternal is that it does not cut off. It does not end. Just as we die here, over there you don't die. And I'm sure we still don't understand what it means not to die because we die. It's very difficult to explain to somebody who dies that they will not die anymore. What do you mean by I won't die anymore? I know about death. I know about funerals, funeral announcement. What are you talking about? That there's going to be a time where there's no death. But that is what it is. Air, breeze, lives on. It continues. God, the Bible says that he was from the beginning and he's also going to be there at the end. If there's ever going to be an end, God can come here without invitation. God can move through countries without visa. God can go anywhere and anytime. God does not live. He does not die. He does not go. God is a spirit. So that part that he gave to us is also going to enter into that realm that God lives. But you see, there's some changes. Because what God initially intended for us was twisted a little bit because of the sin of sin in the Garden of Eden. So what now happens is that even though your spirit continues to live, God is actually trying to separate the good ones, if you want to call the good ones, from the bad ones. He's trying to separate the ones who believe in him and who actually submit to him from those who don't submit to him. Now you ask yourself, if you have 10 people, if you were asked to take care of 10 people, and then you have the opportunity to assess how many of the 10 you really want. Do you think you will choose anybody who is rebellious to you? You can't even start to take them to your house. Because you know that. That is why companies do interviews. And they shortlist people. Because it's not everybody who a company wants to employ or bring you into their world. Now you look at it. If companies
that pays only 40,000 Guyanese dollars. Below minimum wage, no NRS, no medical insurance, no leave, you no break. So some people, even half an hour, you don't get half an hour lunch break. If these companies shortlist people to invite them into their world, how much more the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the heavens and earth, God Almighty Himself. Do you think God will want to just open His door wide and say, no matter who you are, you can do whatever you want, you can be whoever you are, but just come. Yes, God wants everybody to come into His house, but He wants those who believe in Him. Because ladies and gentlemen, if you have people who don't believe in you around you, you can't go forward. You cannot do anything with a woman who doesn't believe in you. You cannot do anything with a man who doesn't believe in you. You cannot do anything with a congregation who doesn't believe in you. You cannot do anything with a country that doesn't belong to you, believe in your leadership. So God says, I've invited everybody to come, but it's only those who believe in me. Those are the ones. I will allow them to come. I will only shortlist candidates who have faith in me. Their qualification is belief. And tonight, God is asking you to check your faith in Him tonight. Because if you do not believe in Him, it means that even though the gates are open wide, like our gates are open wide, you still cannot have access into the presence of God. There is life eternal. And eternal life, when we say eternal life, it's not just living forever. But is it life? Again, life is not life. Please sit down. Life is not life. Oh. Let me tell you. For some, 75,000 is what they spend on chicken at the end of the month. Just chicken. For some people, they are tired when they have to fly by air somewhere. They've traveled almost every weekend of their life. When they realize this weekend is coming, they want the weekend not to come. So you who has never sat in a plane before, you think everybody's life is like you? You who is eating shine rice every day, you think everybody eats shine rice every day? You who bath salt soap, you think everybody sitting down here uses salt soap? Life, eternal life is not the same. Hey, people live different lives though. One day, one of my church members told me that her boss bought a Lamborghini. You know a Lamborghini? Lamborghini. It's an Italian specially made vehicle called Lamborghini. Lamborghini Countach. The boss man of Maserati. The boss man organized that for his 18-year-old son as his birthday present. When you were 18, even guinea pig you didn't get. Just to test and buy, you didn't even get guinea pig. Even a cake with one small candle for you to blow. Even that one you didn't get. I can see the candle in the dark. Even the cake. So if you live in Guyana, you think that everybody's life is like you. It's not the same. There are people. I went to a restaurant with somebody. This is, I'm trying to limit my information giving. I went to the restaurant with somebody. After we had our lunch, I grabbed my purse or my wallet. I wanted to pay. Then there's somebody said, "No, I will pay." I said, "No, I will pay." He said, "No, I will pay." So I said, "Okay." It was a fight who should pay. May somebody fight over you to pay something for you.
Yeah.
Gone to a very nice place, had nice lunch. Then when you finish, there's a fight to pay. I remember one day we are sharing the bill. And then when you look at the bill, you begin to shake because you realize that your money is not enough. One day I went to Tobago for a meeting. And after that, I said, you know what? I want to go to the shopping mall to see if I can get something. I was looking for something. So I had about, I think, 3 pastors with me. We went to the shopping mall, went through it, and I saw something. I said, okay, this is what I'm looking for. So they said, oh, yeah, so check it and see if it's the right one. I checked and everything. When I checked and I said, this is what I like. Come and see the 3 pastors. They said, I am paying. The one said, who? You? I am paying. The other person said, yeah, keep quiet. I am paying. They fought. I didn't even know who paid for the thing at the end of the day. It's not everybody who, when they need something, they have to go on their knees and say, oh God, deliver me from her. People, lives are different. I'm saying this to help you understand. So this, my lunch I went to, I was going to pay. I had a card. You know, I don't carry. If you want to rob me, it's only cards you see. So I was going to take my card. No, but the other person took his wallet. The wallet, you couldn't close the wallet. The wallet was in the back pocket, but when it came up, it automatically became straight. And you understand what it means when the wallet becomes straight immediately. Then I saw it. I mean, I also have to behave. I'm also a big man, right? So you behave, you know, you look like you're not impressed, right? And you open the wallet, Grangers. I think, you see, I don't want to exaggerate, but I think it was a pack of Grangers in the wallet. Yeah. Yeah, straight from BOG. Was in the wallet like that. And he paid. And 2 people, how much can we eat? He paid. Then when they said there was change, and he said, take it. It's a man of God, let's go. Hey, life is not the same. So when the Bible says eternal life exists for everybody. It means that whether you are a sinner or you are a Christian, you when you die here on earth, it's not the end of you. But in the eternity of life, there is a posh place and there is a ghetto. And whether you go to the ghetto or the posh area, it depends on whether the blood of Jesus has ever been applied over your life. That's what I'm talking about. John chapter 6 and verse 53. So whether, as for eternity, everybody will go into eternity. Because you die, you have to rise up to be judged. Everybody who is dead is still alive. All the people you know who are dead, they are still alive. Because the Bible says, if you believe the Bible says that you die and after death, judgment. So how can you die and then it's over? It's not over. There's judgment awaiting every one of us. So the Bible said, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. So there's what we call life and life. Those who have the life to live in the nice place beyond this world are those who have the blood of Jesus in them. He says, if you don't drink it, you don't have life. It means that you have never drunk the blood of Jesus before, then you don't have life. Why does Jesus say this? Jesus says this because God has actually imputed, God has mixed up blood with life. So it is not when you feed the poor, feeding some 2, 3, 4 poor people, giving some clothes out, some clothes that you don't like and you want to give it to somebody. The money that you spend on yourself, that's not the money you spend on people outside. The small money you give to beggars, these little things do not give you eternal life. It does not. Whether you live in a nice neighborhood in Guyana, that does not give you eternal life. Whether you are smart or you are dunce, whether you are beautiful or you are not, those things don't give you it. Your life eternal is still there. But this one that Jesus said, the life I give, you don't have the one that Jesus is going to give you. In other words, to really have a certain extension of life into eternity and not suffer and not punish, you need the blood of Jesus to have worked on you. Hallelujah. The Bible talks about a heaven where people have gathered from all tribes and all tongues and all nations. People who have been washed by the blood of the Lamb. The blood of Jesus. You see, the blood, eternal life comes through the blood of Jesus. Because even when you look at blood, blood goes over every part of your body, receives blood. Where blood does not go, that part is dead. When you think about stroke, when people have stroke, it's very difficult for them to move a part of their body. The reason is that there's blood shortage in that area. Even when you sit down and you cross your legs, for those who are getting older, you cross your legs. When you are young, you just cross. 1, 2, 3. Like that. You are getting older. When you cross it for a little while, when you take it off, then you see that your feet get numb. Cramp. You know why it's cramp? Cramp is the lack of the flow of blood to the part, to the area where you are feeling the cramp. In other words, if the blood of Jesus does not touch your life, you are cut off. You are cut off from eternal life that God gives. Ladies and gentlemen, let's be serious. I am not talking about growing up in a house where people do walk or people do some sacrifice. I'm not talking about your mother taking you to church since you were born. We are not joking. I am not talking about you believing in something you say, no, please. We are talking about blood. If the blood of Jesus has not touched your life, you will die and go to hell. He says it. It is the blood of Jesus that gives life. That is why he had to come and die and shed his blood for you and I. Tonight, I want you to really look at yourself. I want you to think about life. The sad thing, ladies and gentlemen, will be that here on earth, you eat and rise until you die. And then when you are dead too, it's the ghetto you go. At least, even if you don't get a good job here on earth, at least, even if you don't get rich here on earth, do not allow eternity to find you on the wrong side. If I can advise you that tonight, let eternity find you in a good place, a better place, a land and a place that is flowing with milk and honey, streets of gold, where the light is God himself.
I'll ask you to stand tonight. My time is up. I finished preaching. The blood of Jesus is shortlisting candidates tonight. I want everybody to stand, please. Wherever you are tonight, there's a shortlisting going on right now. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. It's flowing. You may be outside. You probably can hear me from outside. The blood of Jesus is available tonight to give you an extension that your life, even if your life is not good here, it's going to be better in the other side. Every eye closed, every head bowed. You want to say, Pastor, tonight, I want my life after this life to be the best. I don't know. I just want to believe. God will not accept you if you don't believe. So Pastor, tonight, I've never died. I don't know what is over there. But I believe what you are saying. That there's a heaven and there's a hell. And that those who go to heaven are those whose sins have been washed away by the blood of Jesus. Who has been given new life through the blood. The righteous blood. The perfect blood of the Passover Lamb. Tonight, you are here. You want to receive Jesus. You want the blood to wash your sins away. You want the blood to shortlist you and introduce you into the world of the elites, into the world of the righteous, into the world of God. All you have to do is just lift up your hands and say, Pastor, it's me. I want to be part of that group. I want to be part of that family. I want to be a child of God. I want the blood of Jesus to touch my life and wash me and cleanse me. And my hand is up. If you are here like that, just your right hand. Tonight, just your right hand. Pastor, please pray for me. I need Jesus. Every eye closed, every head bowed. Just your right hand. Pastor, please pray for me. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand at the back. I see it. Don't hesitate tonight. You may not live long. I don't know. Tonight, as I was coming, God spoke to me. God said, there's a man here. There's a young man here. He's calling you. You came here tonight especially for him. He is the one who led your steps into this place. My prayer is that the young man's hand is up right now, even as I call and I beckon on you to consider, reconsider your life and give your heart to Jesus Christ. Don't die and go to hell. Pastor, my right hand is up. Please pray with me. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. I see all those hands. If you lifted up your hand, I'll ask you to come. Come, leave your seat and come to me. Come to me. Clap for them as they come. Come, ushers, help them. Give him your life tonight. God bless you. God bless you. Oh, clap for them as they come. God bless you. This is not by might. God bless you. Not by power. God bless you, my friend. God bless you, my sister. Oh, clap for them as they come. God bless you. Oh, are you clapping? Are you clapping? God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you, my friend. God bless you. Clap for them. They are coming. Clap for them. God bless you, sir. Give your life to Jesus tonight. Give your life to Jesus tonight. Clap for them as they come. Clap for them as they come. Give him your life. Give him your life today. Give him your life today. Oh, clap for her. Clap for her. They are coming. Oh, are you clapping? I can hear your clap. I can hear your excitement. I can hear your shout as people are coming to Jesus. Oh, they are coming. They are coming. They are coming. Come on to Jesus. Come on to Jesus. Oh, sing it. Let's sing it together. Give him your life tonight. It's not too late. Come. God bless you. Come. Don't die and go to hell. Don't die and go to hell. Make a decision tonight. It's a decision time. It's a decision time. Decision to follow God. Decision to be washed by the blood of the Lamb. Come to Jesus tonight. Come to Jesus tonight. Come on to Jesus. Come on to Jesus. Give him your heart today. Give him your life tonight. Oh, give him. Today, come on. to Jesus.
Let him have his way.
I want you to give these folks a big, big, big welcome and hand clap for taking this bold step. Oh, a young lady has come. Oh, a young man has come. Hey, people, I tell you, lives are changing tonight. Let him, let him, let him. You have come to the front. I want you to close your eyes, lift up your two hands. Tonight is a special night for you. Something beautiful is about to happen to you. Darkness is going to leave you, and light is going to shine from the heaven towards you. And that light is going to say, "You are my child." All you have to do is just pray this prayer with me. It's not by your works. It's not by what you do. It's not by what you know. It's by the blood of Jesus. And it is flowing here tonight. So if you're in front, your hands lifted. If you're in the congregation, I want you to just help us as we pray this prayer together. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I acknowledge tonight that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. I acknowledge that without the blood of Jesus, even though I live, I don't have life. And therefore, I humble myself in your presence tonight. And I ask for the blood of Jesus to wash my sins away, to wash me from my head to my feet. May the blood of Jesus cleanse me from within. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe Jesus is the only way. I believe Jesus is the truth. And I believe Jesus is the life. And I ask Jesus to come into my heart, to be my master and my savior. I believe Jesus died for me. And I believe God raised him from the dead. Right now, as I speak, I believe that my life has changed. I believe I have Jesus' life. I believe I have life eternal. I believe I am born again. I believe I am a new creature. And my name is written in the book of life. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I pray for all these wonderful people, young, old, male, female, who have come to the altar, surrender their lives to you. I ask, I know that by this prayer they are changed. Lord, I ask your mighty hand to rest upon their lives. Let the mighty hand of God Almighty himself rest upon everyone who stepped forward to the front to declare Jesus as their Lord. May their life indeed never be the same after tonight. May they walk in the path of righteousness. May they believe unto the end. May they love God. May they love the word. May they love the Bible. May they love to pray. May they love fellowship. May they live and exist in these things, that they will make it until the end. Thank you for touching their lives. I thank you for the preachers, I thank you for the ministers that are among these ones. I thank you for that young man who has come, oh God, responded. I don't know the young man, but Lord, I believe that young man came. Thank you for that supernatural call upon that young man's life. I give you praise tonight and I give you glory. In Jesus' name. Somebody said, hey. Oh, hallelujah. Give Jesus a big hand clap one more time. Pastors, where are you? Want to take your details, want to stay in touch with you, want to call you, want to be part of, want to build, start a relationship. You get it? You want to start a relationship with you. What's your name, my dear? Tishana? Wonderful. Tishana, from today, I want to be your pastor. All right, so I want to take your name, your phone number, so that I can stay in touch with you. All right? Husband and wife? Wonderful. Want to relate a bit more? Where do you live? Potential. Wow, it's good to see you. Just want to take your pastors, come around very quickly, take their names, and then they can go and sit down. Your name, your address, where you are from, all of that. God bless you. God bless you. Husband and wife giving their life to Jesus. It's amazing. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Before the world began, you were on his mind, and every tear you cry is precious in his hand. Because of his great love, he gave his only son, and everything was done so you will come. Come to the Father. Come to the Father. And don't, once they finish writing your name, you can go back to your seat. Broken hearts and broken lives, he will take them all. The power of the word, the power of his love, and everything was done so you will come. Come to the Father. Though your gift is small, broken life, broken life, he would take them all. He would take them all. He would take them all.
The power of his love, and everything was done so you would come.
I want to pray for you if you are not feeling well tonight, if you are sick in any part of your body. Jesus is here tonight. If you are not well, if you are sick, if your head is hurting, any part of you, you have any pain in any part of your body, every eye closed, let's close our eyes tonight. If you are not well, just lay your hands wherever the sickness is at. I want to pray for you tonight.
I am the Lord that he left you. I am the Lord your healer. I sent my word and I healed your disease. I am the Lord your healer. You are the Lord. You are the Lord that he left me. You are the Lord, my healer. You sent your word and you healed my disease. You are the Lord, my healer.
I pray for, let's pray, Father, tonight. I pray for everybody who is not feeling well. Every sickness, every pain, I command every sickness to go now. Every weakness, I command the weaknesses to go. every pain. I command pain to go. Any pain in every part of the body, any headache, any chest pain, any pain in the legs, I command it to go. I speak healing. I speak healing. Eye pains, pains in the eyes. I pray. I command those pains to go. Let life come into the life of your people, in the bodies of your people. Let healing be made available right now. Receive that healing miracle. Receive that healing touch right now. Somebody's waist, your waist, you have pain in your waist. Receive healing right now. The healing power of Jesus is flowing right now in the congregation. The angels here administering healing. Receive your healing right now in the name of Jesus. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. I declare you whole, cleansed, loose from every infirmity tonight. In the precious name of Jesus. Father, thank you for healing every kind and every form of sickness. In Jesus' name. Amen. Check yourself if you were not feeling well. Check yourself. Check and see how you're doing. How you're doing. Check if the pain is gone. Check and see. You are healed. God has touched you. You are healed. It's gone. The pain is gone. Yes, the trouble has gone. The heaviness is gone. That burden has been lifted. Check yourself and see. And if indeed you are healed and you've been touched by God, I want you to come lift up your right wherever you are. If you were not well and God has touched you and you're feeling better, you're feeling well, just give me a wave wherever you're standing. Wherever you're standing. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. Wow. Okay. Okay. Wow. If you lifted up your hand, God touched you. You are not feeling well. As I prayed, there was a miracle. Something happened to you. There's a supernatural intervention. You lifted up your hand. I want to ask you to please come to me. Come to the front. Everybody be seated. If you were touched by God, just come. Come. Some people, they sit down even before you tell them to sit down. You are touched by God. Come, come. Oh, clap for them. Is the song going on? Where are the microphones? Where are the microphones? Are we using them? There are people who want to sing. Eh? Are the microphones working? And you heal. Oh, are you clapping? Hey. You are the pray for you. You are seated. Before we take the testimonies, let's close your eyes. God is touching you tonight. He's touching your life. There's somebody here. There's something you really want to stop, but you cannot stop. There's a supernatural strength coming upon you right now. There's something you are not happy with. You keep repeating it. You want to stop. The grace of God is available tonight. Receive the touch of God wherever you are seated. Receive it from the front to the back, from the left to the right. Receive the supernatural touch, the supernatural intervention. Receive it now. Receive it now like a mighty breeze. Mighty breeze. Let it blow over your life. Blow over your life. Receive it. Receive it now. Receive the strength. Receive the touch of God. Let it be evident. God has touched you tonight. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. What's happening, Pastor Calvin?
We have Sister Jennifer.
Sister Jennifer?
Yes, she was having pain in her heart.
Her heart?
Tonight, as you prayed, the pain has disappeared.
The pain in the heart has disappeared. Are you sure?
Yes.
Sister Jennifer?
Yes, Bishop.
What was happening tonight?
Tonight when I was coming to church, I couldn't have made it.
You could not breathe in?
No, I couldn't have made it to come. I was on the road I had to take a taxi to come because the pain started.
Wow.
And then I was in church and I was praying, and then when you told me that everybody who have pain, place their hands where the pain is, I placed my hands on my chest, to my stomach, and then the pain just subsided.
Oh, that's a big woman, you know. She can't come and tell her stories that didn't happen. Why are you sitting down and not acknowledging this miracle? Hey, God bless you. God bless. The pain is gone. Father, thank you for that mighty healing. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Yes.
We have Jennifer again.
Another Jennifer.
Yes. She came with pain in the stomach. And as you prayed, Bishop, the pain has gone.
The pain in the stomach is gone. Somebody. Hey, look at some of the people. You wait until you get stomach pain. Wait until you get stomach pain. Yes, Sister Jennifer, what happened to you?
Since last week, I was getting a pain in my stomach.
Wow.
It was burn and hurt.
Wow.
And it wasn't going away. And I wanted to come last night, but it was paining.
It was paining.
I go and tell my mother and sister that we're going tonight. And it was still hurting when I was coming in. And it was hurting while I was singing and praying and so. And when you said, put your hand where the pain is, and I put my hand and it disappeared.
Whoa. Shabro, where are you in this church? To kick him or something? Give Jesus a big hand clap. My God, pain in the stomach is gone to the glory of God. Father, thank you that the pain is indeed gone for real in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow, put your hands together for the Lord. Sit down. What's happening there, Pastor Calvin?
Sister Destiny, she also had a stomach pain.
Stomach pain?
Yeah. Chest pain.
Since
last week. She said that when you prayed, 2 weeks now, she said when you prayed last week, the pain went away, but it came back.
Hey,
she
pain.
She said this tonight, as you prayed, she believes it's gone completely.
Wow. Destiny, what happened to you?
Bishop, I was having a pain like 3 weeks now.
Okay.
And it would normally come, and when I sit, I can't get up back right away. It feel like I'm going to get a heart attack or something.
Wow.
And when I went to the rally in Georgetown.
Yes.
Like, when you said to place my hands here, it wasn't paining, but I placed it. And when I went home, it still was hurting.
Okay.
And then yesterday, I came and it didn't come back.
Okay.
And then when I reached home, it started hurting again.
What kind of pain is that? It's a human pain.
Yeah, so tonight I came and it started up. And then when I placed my hands, I feel like it just moved to the side here and then it disappeared.
Hey. Pain has moved to the side and it's gone. Father, this pain will not return when your daughter goes home. In the name of Jesus, you are healed. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Oh, give Jesus a big hand clap. Pain in the chest is gone. Yeah, WAMG.
Hallelujah. Bishop, God is healing waist pains. Amen.
Hey.
This lady said last week at the Salvation Rally in Georgetown, she was having some pain in the waist. But when you prayed for her, her faith wasn't enough. But she said only part of it went.
Hey.
But tonight, she said, as you prayed, the power of God went through her and she felt some needles sticking in her.
I said waist pain. Did I not say that?
Yes. Some needles were sticking at the side. And tonight, the pain is gone. She's free from the waist pain tonight. Hallelujah!
Francine, what happened?
Bishop, like for 2 months now, I've been troubled with waist pain. When I sit, it will be when I get up, it's like an old
lady
getting up. And last week, Bishop, at Salvation Rally, you see, while you were praying, you said that there's someone with waist pain and they're feeling a cold breeze coming up on them right now. And I felt a cold breeze, but it was like, man, me, I'm. And it's just part that went, right? And then tonight, last night you asked for us to stand, whoever is have a sickness or so, but I didn't want to stand. Mm-hmm. After tonight is the last night, I said, this is it. It must be it. Over.
I don't know if we're having a rally.
I placed my hands and then I started to feel like, as you prayed, needles like sticking both sides and then the pain.
Angelic intervention! Hey, needles. It's like acupuncture. And the pain. It's gone. Where was the pain? Which part? Waist. Could you? You're not like an old woman anymore. You're a young lady. Come on. Do what you couldn't do. What you couldn't do. You couldn't do that before. You like an old lady.
Even at church, Bishop, I would just go down and then.
Wow. Yeah. But it's gone. Somebody give Jesus. Woo! Father, thank you for that healing. In Jesus' name. Amen. Wow, Pastor Calvin, what's happening there?
Bishop, we have Brother Daniel.
Yes.
He came with a headache, a very severe headache. You said to stand up, and if you're having any pain, just put your hand wherever it is. And he placed his hand on his head. And as you prayed, the power of God was on him. And it's the pain has gone. The headache has gone.
The headache is gone! Father, thank you for that miracle. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, come on, somebody. Give Jesus a big hand clap.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For booking and more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.shepherdhouseinternational.org. God richly bless you.